Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefishore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Arlene, I remember I've met you, but I didn't really talk to you. So we were at the AR Advocates Conference in Ohio.
Oh, okay.
2 years ago. So it wasn't last year. It was the year before last. So that would be the 2023 conference. And you had a booth. I had a booth. You had a booth. There was about five or six of us. It wasn't many of us that had a booth. And I see your book in the background. I was just telling Linda, I had given your book away. So I didn't even get a chance to read it before I gave it away. And I was trying to remember the name of it, but Hidden Bruises, and I was right, is your book. Healing Hidden Bruises. Thank you.
I like that title.
And so that's why I stopped at your booth to talk to you about that. And we didn't get into deep conversation. I think somebody else came up and was trying to buy your book as well or talk to you about your book. And I don't know if you had anything else on the table, other things you were talking about. So we're just going to get going into the conversation. I just want to hear from you because I am totally meeting you. And so is Linda, absolutely fresh. And just want to tell us who you are, you know, how you got to where you at, you know, just a little bit about you, your story.
Okay. Well, I was raised in Indiana in a small country town, very conservative. And when I was about maybe 28 or so, 27, 28, I decided to move to Denver, Colorado.
Big move.
That's
yeah,
where
it
I'm
was
from.
A big move. And I don't know why, other than I just know, I remember being small. I don't know if I heard something or saw something. I don't know. But I always wanted to move to Denver. And so one day I finally did. So while I was there, I met a man who I knew down deep wasn't really the right man for me, but I became involved with him. And long story short, ended up in an abusive situation, had two abortions, and went through a long healing journey, you know, both from the abortions and the abuse, and have since written a book about the connection between the two things, and here I am.
Did you get married to this man?
I did not. I did not.
And do you have children today?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not. The two times that I was pregnant, I aborted. So, nope, I do not have children.
Okay. Okay.
On earth.
Yes. Yes. You're a
just
mother.
In heaven.
Yeah. So when did you grow up in church?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I did.
Okay. So did you walk away then? Would you say for a time, or what did that look like?
I guess for a time. I never did really anything bad. I mean, I never got into drugs or alcohol or anything like that. But yeah, I think I did kind of walk away for a while. And I do remember, well, I ended up kind of pretty much living with this man. I still had my own place, but I had most of my personal things at his place. And I do remember after the first abortion, as I was still laying on the table, I prayed and I said, Lord, you know, I know I'm not living like I should, and I know I'm not doing everything right, but I still believe that I'm your child. I asked for forgiveness and made a vow that I would never abort again, and I did.
So what happened there?
So,
What brought on the second
well, what
abortion?
happened with the second one was when I became pregnant again, and it was by the same man. I'm still with the same man, same partner. Immediately, as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I remembered that vow that I made. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to have this child. And at the time of the first abortion, at that period of time, there hadn't been any physical abuse. But between the first abortion and this pregnancy, there was. And so I just said, Lord, I remember that vow and I intend to keep it. I will raise this child. I'm not in good circumstances. He's abusive now, but if I have to become a single mother or whatever, I don't care. I will keep this baby. And that was my full intention. But the pregnancy became very complicated, very quickly. And I had fibroid tumors, which they couldn't take without, since they were attached to the uterus, they couldn't take them without taking the baby. And so I just decided, I'm going to stick this out. I'm going to have this baby. I'm going to have it. And so, of course, everybody I knew was saying, there's no way you can do this. And the doctor would tell me, there's no way you can carry to term. You'll be bedfast or whatever. And then, of course, he was saying, the doctor was saying that probably the baby could be born, with physical difficulties or whatever. Well, of course, when my partner heard that, he was immediately, like the fear factor of, we can't really afford a child anyway right now. And now if it's going to be, if it's going to have physical difficulties or needs special needs or mentally retarded or whatever, we just can't do it. We can't do it, And so anyway, I kept standing my ground, and I think I was like just starting my second trimester, and finally, and I just kept crying out to God and saying, Lord, I'm keeping my end of the bargain. Where are you? But finally, one day came. I mean, I had, by the time I had my hysterectomy, one of the tumors weighed, I think, 7 or 8 pounds. No, I'm sorry. No, that's not true. 2 pounds, 2 pounds. But I had 7 or 8 tumors, and they were all growing at an astronomical rate. And because of that and the pregnancy on top of it, I was just miserable. And I had to, twice, I had to go to the emergency room and be catheterized just so I could urinate because the tumors were blocking the bladder. So one day I just finally said, God, I can't do this anymore, and you're not coming through for me, and I'm sorry. And so having that abortion was very traumatic for me, of course, because it, of course, resulted in a hysterectomy. And I knew, of course, I would never have a chance to bear my own children, and the guilt of the whole thing and all that. It was just a
That's
very
a lot.
traumatic time. Yeah,
So
very traumatic.
when did you come back to the Lord and just really walk out your faith?
Yeah. I think, well, even during that second pregnancy, I was, I guess, trying to make an attempt to come back to him. Because I mean, I really was serious. I was really praying and whatever. But on the other hand, I still was, not living the lifestyle I should have and all that. So I guess probably it was really somewhere after that second pregnancy and the hysterectomy that I got real serious.
And when did you went through abortion healing, is that correct?
Oh, yes.
And when did you do, how long ago, or how long, I'm sorry, how long after that do you think that you went through abortion healing?
Probably it wasn't a real long time, maybe a couple years.
Okay. And so you,
Which
okay.
for that day anymore, you have people coming, a week or two after. But for that day, a
It's pretty
couple
quick.
years really wasn't a long time.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so because I know your book is addressing abortion healing and abuse
Yes.
together. So to give context to the writing of the book, can you tell us a little bit about what that abuse will look like and how, the effect that it have on had on you and that kind of thing?
Well, it was very difficult for me because I grew up in a loving family. We didn't have I never didn't have any domestic violence around me. I didn't know, anything about it. So it really wounded me, in my spirit. Of course, it hurt physically and all that, but it was just I think more than the physical, it was just the emotional damage that occurred. It was just hard.
I think we're recognizing more and more that many of the women coming through our groups for abortion recovery, do have those aspects. And I know, and in an even place, Mindy has added some sexual healing components, separate Bible studies. And it's kind of chicken and egg thing, isn't it? It's like which comes first, the healing from the sexual abuse or the abortion? How did that work in your life?
Yeah, and it's just so inter it really is so intertwined. It really is, because it plays on your emotions to, be physically and emotionally abused. And you're getting the messages, you're not worth it, your self-esteem is being damaged, etc. But for me, to answer your question, it really was the abortions that,
Hey,
to me,
first.
I needed to get healed from first.
Okay. And so you went through how many different abortion healing kinds of groups have you done, just out of curiosity?
I think. Oh my, let's see. One, two, three, probably
Oh, wow.
four
Which
different
ones were
ones.
they?
Yeah. They were the very first one I went to. This was interesting how I found this, because I visited a church that I didn't usually go to, and it was on a Wednesday night because I wanted to hear a special speaker that was there. And somebody had left a bulletin on the bench, and so I just kind of picked it up and read it, and it said there was a group for healing from abortion, and I never knew there was such a thing. I had never heard of that, and so I went to that one. That was my very first one, and got a lot of healing from that,
And
and even
did they
before that,
use what
but
book
go
did
ahead.
they use?
It wasn't a particular book. It was just kind of more of information that they had gathered on
Okay,
their own.
okay. Interesting.
And then I also went to Silent Voices in California. Then I went through Forgiven and Set Free. Then I went to through Deeper Still. So those are the four. But even before I went to that first group, I found a book in a Christian bookstore, which is now out of print, but it said the name of it was Abortion's Second
Second victim.
Victim. And it's no longer in print. But I picked it up, and it's so funny because how the Lord works, because usually before I buy a book, I pick it up and kind of look through it and whatever, and I just kind of looked at it and I thought, well, I wonder what that is. Second victim. I've had an abortion, but I'm okay. I wonder what a second victim is. And so Thank God I did not open that book in the bookstore because I would have just been a
Never have gotten
blubbering
it.
basket face. And no kidding, when I sat down to read that book, I was in tears at the preface, not even chapter one, the preface.
Wow.
And I
'Cause you
mean,
weren't
I.
alone. Somebody else was out there. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. And it, yeah, it's like she knew all about me. And I'm like, who is this woman? You know? And the Lord was so gracious. He actually let me meet her a few years later.
Pam
Oh,
Corbell.
Pam Horrible.
Pam Corbell.
Exactly.
Pam
Yeah.
Corbell. I'm going to look for it on eBay.
1995.
You can find out of print books on eBay, so I'm going to see.
Because,
Get
yeah,
that
it
one.
is out of print, so you may have trouble finding it. But,
It's interesting.
yeah.
So you went through four, and I'm just curious before we get into your book, you went through four studies or four different, not four studies, excuse me, four different programs. What prompted you to do that, those different four different, and I know the first one, right? But the second, the third, and the fourth, what prompted you to want to attend them?
Just because as I started getting healing through the both the book and that first group I went to, I just kind of realized, you know, there's more. I mean, this is abortion is a very serious thing, and it really, you know, damages you. And I became, I don't want to say obsessed, but I mean, I was just really hungry to find out more of the effects and hear different stories and, you know, continue healing. It's kind of one of those things that, you know, the more you learn, the more you know you don't know. And so I just kind of kept on, you know, kept on finding places to go and studies to attend. And that's why.
Yeah, and you were getting more and more healing as you went.
Oh, yeah. But I think, you know, by the time I reached the fourth one, I think I was pretty well, you know, and even probably the third one, maybe
Yeah.
even the second one, I don't know. But I, you know, each one, I would still get things out of it, but
God was
right.
preparing you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you decided to write a book.
Well,
And then I did.
and so
And you know, I
what,
think,
can I ask you a question real quick
yeah.
about the abuse part of this? So you felt like you needed to deal with the abortion first. Did you deal with the abuse as a standalone after that, and how did you deal with that?
Yeah. I think it was after the abortion healing that I started looking at abuse. I didn't really, I guess I didn't, well, here's something that happened. The church I was attending at the time, it was a very large church and had a lot of support groups. And it had a support group for battered women. So I started attending that and found some healing, you know, started healing there. But the strange thing about that was I was there about 3 weeks, and the leader turned to me and said, well, not in front of everybody, but she told me later, she said, after one of the classes, she said, you know, you're a lot more healed than most of these women are. She said, I want you to start facilitating it. Just like, and she threw me in with somebody else who had never even really been through abuse. And together we, you know, facilitated this class for battered women. And, you know, you learn by teaching.
Yeah, so true.
And that's how a lot of the healing for me came about from the domestic violence.
Wow. Okay, so then how did that lead into, or how did the Lord prompt you? I guess I'm not sure what I'm trying to ask, and to writing this book.
Well, it just as I started facilitating, and then I also started facilitating the group for abortion recovery. Actually, I kind of I don't want to say invented it, but they didn't have a group for abortion recovery, and so I started one. So I was teaching both groups, the abortion recovery and the battered women, and that's when I started seeing crossovers. And of course it's not 100%, but I could see that, I'd see people from each group coming to each. And the Lord back then started telling me, you should write about this. And that was in, wow. Well, I started at that church in 86. So this probably would have been about maybe 89 or something that the Lord started dealing with me. And I just said, I don't know how to do that. I don't even know what to say. I mean, yeah, I can see connections and whatever. And I started doing research and on both subjects, and I have a ton of notes. But it was like, I don't really know what to do with this. I don't know how to get started, whatever. And so through the years, he'd kind of deal with me again, and I'd say, well, I'm busy. I'm working 10 hours a day. I've got this terrible job. I've, on and on and on. Excuses went. And finally, one day I was retired, and it was kind of like he just tapped me on the shoulder and said, well, now what's your excuse? So I said, okay, you got me. So that is how I started writing it. And I said, if I do this, you have to help me because I don't know, So, and it definitely
You mentioned
was only through his
crossovers.
help,
Yeah, you mentioned crossovers, and not only just the women that were in both groups, but issues that kind of cross over. What are the main issues that come up with both that you see?
Number one, I would say probably number one is you lose your voice. You lose your voice in domestic violence. You lose your voice in abortion.
Like that.
Another big one is isolation. Isolation in domestic violence is huge, but it also is in abortion, especially if you're talking, in the Christian circle or Christian women. In particular, and even with non-Christians, it can be a big secret, but especially in the Christian community, this is such a big secret, and so much guilt and shame. And of course, the guilt and shame also, of course, associated with domestic violence. The grief cycle, oh my goodness, you go through grief, certainly you go through grief with the abortion. Grieving the baby and whatever, but you also need to with domestic violence because there's been a big part of you that's been damaged, and you have the same steps of the anger and depression and bargaining and all that stuff. The grief cycle plays a very big role. And sometimes you actually kind of get stuck in the grief. And don't know how to go on. You're damaged, the damage that it does, the damage in your emotions, and
Your worth, self-worth.
yes, and the lack of self-worth and whatever. And a lot of times, what I see is people that come. That come for abortion healing, their self-worth is already like below zero, on the minus scale, whether or not they've been through domestic violence or not. There's just a lot of damage there of the self-worth. The process, everything is process that you go through. The you just don't wake up one day and jump into an abusive situation or wake up one
Wow.
day and think, oh, well, I'm just going to go about to ruining my life any way I can.
Right.
The process.
What are some clues for those of us that are leading groups on abortion recovery? Are there any particular clues that we need to be watching for that perhaps someone has some unhealed abuse issues as well?
You mean issues for domestic violence or just
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I would just say if some of the normal things that you look for seem to be maybe kind of deeper, like rejection or maybe or fear, a lot of fear, I think might be one.
Is there any common kind of phrases that women who are abused kind of use?
Is there, I'm sorry, the question was what?
Are there any common phrases that women who
Oh,
are abused,
phrases that they use. I
Because you
don't.
said it's a shameful thing. So I'm thinking sometimes they're probably not volunteering it right off the bat.
Yeah, I don't know of any particular phrases that come to mind. I can't think of any.
So in your book, are you kind of following with what you're talking about, what we were just talking about, how the overlap, is that what your book is kind of addressing, or tell us what the book is addressing it, specifically, like what are the some of the topics in there that you're talking about?
I talk about well, I do talk about both domestic violence and abortion, and I talk about soul ties. I talk about lies we believe. I talk about losing our voice. And definitely the grief cycle. Talk about that. The book is not, it is my story and my healing journey, but it's also, I have stories of two or three other women that have been through these situations and their healing journeys also. And of course, basically that we can be forgiven. In God's grace and the forgiveness we go through,
Yeah.
and that there is hope. Definitely hope. There's
Always
definitely
hope.
hope beyond the pain,
Always hope in Jesus. Always hope.
Amen.
He is our
Amen.
hope. Well, Arlene, any last comments that you might give to abortion recovery workers that are out there? Encouragement or?
Keep up the good work. I know it can be a battle. It really can. But just, you look at the bigger picture of, what the Lord has done for us and to just extend it to others. Hope and healing and grace that the Lord has forgiven, that the Lord has given us, that we continue to give to others.
Good word.
Yes, thank you. Well, I appreciate your time, and it was a pleasure to get to know you, Arlene.
Well, thank you. It's been good to meet you too.